hockey game last night was unbelievable.
Yeah. Ready? Yeah.
It's February 22nd, 2018. Kerry Chen, Board President, call for the Board Study Session of Rowland Unified School District of Education to order. It's time.
Here it is.
4:43. Roll call, please.
Sure. Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Kerry Chen.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes, item? To be pulled from the agenda?
None from staff.
Can I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Donna? And Ms. Price, second. Vote for favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Flag salute. Lynn, would you lead us?
Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dr. Mitchell, any comments? There are public comments. There are
public
two.
Comedy. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes and as
I'm having Dennis set up the timer. I apologize
for
interrupting.
Sorry.
Could you come and assist over here? I don't know if it's already on that machine or not. We got it. You can read
okay.
it. You can proceed while we do our work.
Remarks are limited to 3 minutes and as extended further or limited by votes of the board, a maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board, is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentation and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following the presentation. Roy Humphrey, Mr. Humphrey.
Brandy, can you turn that mic on? Thank you.
Hello. Okay, I'm Roy Humphreys, and the theme of today's discussion has we have to thank Mr. Alex Flores, who doesn't seem to be present at the moment. And as it was when he first mentioned that we have nothing to hide, and Ms. Freeman seconded that situation, I have endless nightmares ever since then and contemplating seeking counseling on this situation because it keeps burying its ugly head. If there's nothing to hide, why did Mr. Flores refuse to have the video recording of the Oswald Crying Lady public meeting? Why did our superintendent refused to allow the video recording of the public meeting in the hideout with the local use situation? Why was Stuart Moe and Eric Hart still on agendas and the website long after their unceremoniously departure? Why, if you have nothing to hide, why were they there? When was it discovered that Nogales multipurpose room was a structural disaster? Why was it not mentioned at the bond oversight committee when committee chairman Harry Peterson, a contractor, put out a laundry list of deficiencies of that multipurpose room? Natalie Moreno and Wendy Jong of the same committee in true ghetto fashion chose to chastise him for not appreciating this momentous improvements and disregard the critical issues. It is especially when we consider it is so easy to hide this disparaging situation in the change orders when the district has lawyered up and hidden other change orders in excess of the 10% rule and caused Niagara auditors to blush. If we if we have nothing to hide, how about and want to lawyer up over the 10% rule, which is a red flag to corruption and incompetence? Why not bring on lawyers and accountants, forensic type, for the people's side of the situation and level the playing field? If it was not for citizen Roy Humphreys, I guess that's me, the abuse of the Associated Student Body and district funds exceeding $20,000, which was noted with the maid company's parade situation, these practices, which had been going on for decades, would still be continuing on, and some people call it fraud. Okay. And where is Mrs. Wilson? Did Stuart Moe leave over the Nogales discoveries? Did Eric Hart decide to leave after the heat in the kitchen got to be a little hot over the unexplained, where's the $25 million popped up its head? Also to let you know, my two nephews had graduated from Nogales, came over for Chinese New Year this last weekend, and I explained to them I had used their names in vain at the last board meeting, and Robert, the Boeing engineer, started chuckling and said whenever he tells anybody...
Sorry, time?
The best yes. I'll just time. Reserve this for next time, right. So stand by for the next exciting episode.
The next speaker, Mr. Shaloman.
Good evening, Board, Dr. Mitchell, Cabinet. I rise today to speak with regards to LCAP Goal 5, student and staff safety and wellness. I don't think I've experienced a more troubling time as an educator than the last couple of weeks. I told myself after the Sandy Hook massacre, and I naively thought that that tragedy would be enough to wake our country up and to do what is necessary so that something like that would never again happen in our country. Yet after the tragic events in Florida last week, we continue to be reminded that we live in a world where a parent has to legitimately worry that their child won't come home from school that day. And as a husband of a school counselor, it crosses my mind every morning that my wife might find herself in the path of gunfire at her workplace. And as a union leader, I hear heartbreaking stories of how educators have to mentally prepare for where they would hide children and what steps they would take if they find themselves faced with a gunman on campus. This is an absolutely crazy that in one of the most advanced countries in the world that we need to consider such things. The last couple of days, I have heard our president propose the idea of arming educators in the classroom. That is absolute insanity. Let me be clear. We do support arming our schools. We support arming our schools with adequate counselors. We support arming our schools with psychologists. We support arming our schools with more social workers. We support arming our schools with more nurses. We support arming our schools with smaller class sizes so that educators can get to know their students so they can proactively prevent the tragedies like this from occurring. We support arming our schools with properly trained security personnel that are experts in that field. Our first obligation as leaders of this institution is to make sure that we are providing the safest possible environment for our staff and the thousands of students that we serve. We can't dictate national legislation here, and we won't resolve the gun debate in this room. But we can make sure that our workforce have the proper training and resources that are needed to prepare for the uncertain world that we find ourselves in. Thank you.
Okay, we're recessed. We have to report. Okay, next we'll overview of a local control and accountability plan, mid-year progress of goal 3-6. Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you very much. So our staff has been working very diligently to provide an updated report for the board to share the progress and the information as it relates to goals 3-6 in our LCAP plan. So Teresa Healy's gonna start it off, and then we have Brian Huff, Sylvia Rivas, Mari Bordona, and Frank Chang, who will be presenting information. Teresa?
All right. Well, good evening. Thank you for having us tonight, and thank you to my team for all the work that they've done. We also have the rest of our team sitting out in the audience and very supportive. You'll hear more from them in goals 1 and 2, but they also were contributors to our conversation today. So thanks to the team, because it is a group effort both at our sites and at the district office to do this work. There. don't have a good signal for Brian. So as we work through our LCAP and we work through the district work, and I believe that the LCAP is our district work, we have some of our state and federal initiatives, such as Common Core and our Smarter Balance, which we know is our academic work that we do. Also our ELD program and standards so that we can support those learners as well. Our LCFF dollars that wrap around and support all the work. We have our 21st Century Framework, our Next Generation Science Standards, and also our NCSC, which supports our special ed students. So a lot of national work that is going on. Additionally, we have local indicators. We've done a lot of work with our PBIS program, our Future Ready Schools. In fact, our team just came back from some work with that. And our CCGI, which supports our college and career guidance and support. And then all wrapped around with our Roland Unified Teaching and Learning Framework, which we've spent a lot of time supporting our teachers with learning and implementing the school year. As a reminder, we have our 8 state priorities. As we have reported to the board previously, we are meeting all of our 8 state priorities. Our LCAP includes all of them in various forms and in multiple ways, but we are meeting all those, and we are required to report on those. So when we get to the annual report in June, we'll make sure that we highlight that for you so that you can show where we are meeting all of those. So as we look at our LCAP timeline, and as a reminder that it's not necessarily a fresh write for our LCAP this year, it is really a revision. So we look at our process, we're up in February already, and our 2017-18 LCAP year one, and that's our referring to the first of the three-year plan for goals 3 through 6. We're having our update tonight. In March at our study session there, we will look at goals 1 and 2. In May, we will present our preview of the LCAP, and then in June, we will present the actual LCAP for vote as well as the budget. So just to keep us on time. And at this point, I'd like to introduce Sylvia Rivas to share with us about Goal 3.
So Goal 3, communicate and collaborate. And this is a part of our parent involvement in terms of when we look at our parent involvement, we look at the California Department of Ed framework, and it has some critical areas that we need to address when we plan. And one of the areas that we have is leadership opportunities. And leadership opportunities come in many, many places, and at the district level and also at the school level. One of the examples is we have our superintendent's council, we have our LCAP council, we also have our English learner council, and we have GATE advisory. Among others, we also have several leadership opportunities at the school sites, such as ELAC, school site council, and also PTA. Another area that we have is building capacity in our parents. So making sure that our parents have all the skills and all the training that is needed for them to provide that to their students so that they can be successful and also have their child be successful in school. So one of the examples of that is our Family Leadership Institute. This is an institute where parents attend, but also it is facilitated by our parents. So it's building capacity in them. This is our second year. Last year we had several. This year we're going to have one district-wide that we're going to involve all our parents that went to the training that we had, and they're going to be the main facilitators, and then we're going to be support for them because we felt that last year they did such a great job and they're ready to go on their own. They don't need us anymore, which is what we want. Another example is we're also providing some family learning opportunities in terms of how families can help their child at home. We have some workshops. We have several people registered for them. I think for all of our workshops, we have at least 30 or more. And we're very excited because we got most of those at our showcase that we had because we had a booth there. The other example is that we have a parent involvement academy, and that's happening pretty soon, where the parents have a variety of opportunities to attend several workshops. Finally, we have access and equity, and that's one of the critical things in the framework. In this area, we provide our parents with critical information, but while also making sure we meet the legal requirements of our federal and state programs that we have. So one of the things that we have is we provide several trainings in our DLEC in different councils, such as college and career readiness. We have AVID. We have SBAC training. We also provide them with training on music that we have. So we have, I think the picture is of Bryant, and we had a full house that day. One of the things that I'm very excited about is that we have a lot more parents now that we've had in the past several years, because it's one representative from each school, but now it's like a full house. So we're even thinking of not having tables anymore and having chairs. And I think that day was probably a full house. And Bryant went over the whole music program and answered questions. And then he actually made them sing and dance. So they had a lot of fun. Also, we also have our opportunities for parents to learn about our English learner program, or about our special ed program, about our GATE program, and other programs that we have in the district. Finally, parents have the opportunity to learn about technology to bridge that digital divide. So one of the things that we provided for parents, which were the top two things that they wanted to learn about, is, of course, what is Google Classroom? Because a lot of kids are using that, or most of our kids are using it in the elementary schools. And they actually got to go into Google Classroom and learn a little bit about it. It takes time, but we started that conversation and that learning. The other thing they wanted to learn about was the home link and how does that work? Because a lot of our parents, even though they know there is that opportunity, some of them are still working on what's the best way to look, how do I look up my students' grades, where can I ask? So we've really provided them specific training on that, and we've seen an increase, and there's still more to provide for them. Finally, we also had, this school year, we had family nights at some of our schools, and that integrated science, technology, and engineering and math, and those were well attended at several schools. So we're very excited about where we're going. There's still, more work to do, but our parents are very happy. A lot of them have mentioned to us that they're happy with all the parent involvements they have, opportunities they have, not only in the district, but they also mention all the parent involvement opportunities at the school sites. So it's very exciting. And whenever I hear that, I call the principals and let them know, your parent was bragging about your school and what you do for parent involvement.
Roland is committed to communicating with parents through many different means. And so you can see here different ways that we communicate with parents online using technology. And we are excited to share the increase in the ways that the district is reaching out to parents so they are up to date on all the news. So thanks to Gina Ward and all of her leadership, the sites have done a big lift this year on HomeLink and the classified front office staff. So kudos to really everyone doing a big lift. You can see the numbers there. Blackboard communication system almost over double the messages sent out to parents. We had a big increase of the mobile app users, up to 8,013 current followers. The Aries Home Link, which gives parents access to real-time grades and allows them to update their demographic information, went up to 10,959 from 3,701 last year. So we're very proud to see that more parents are engaged in that. Our website views went up from 2.3 million to 3.8 million, and then you can see you all are on social media, and you see all the buzz going on in Twitter and Facebook. And we've also added PeachJar this year, which allows the district to push out electronic copies of information to parents. Sylvia, could you advance this slide? So goal four is around fiscal responsibility and facilities.
Any question?
Just a quick comment before you move on to goal four. On goal three, to you and to Sylvia, as
You talked about the workshops to teach parents HomeLink and how you have in all these workshops. Just wanted to let you guys know that even the parents who can't make it to those workshops are benefiting from it. I was speaking with a Hollingsworth parent, and she works as a nurse at night, so she couldn't make it to any of the workshops. Her neighbor told her about the HomeLink, or she was able to, or ParentLink, I'm sorry, and she, no, HomeLink, Aries one. Yeah, and so her neighbor told her about it because her neighbor went to the workshop for her to find out about it for her kids, and she's now been able to track her kid who's been saying, yes, I did my homework while you're at work, and she was finding out that that was not true.
Yeah, the secondary parents especially, they need to keep track, so we need to have a plan for them on how to do that. But that's really great news.
Yeah,
I know that principals have shared with me that when the parents, the representatives come to DLEC, then they go back to their school site and they actually provide copies of what we've done or actually train other parents.
Yeah, she has a child at Nogales and one at Hollingsworth, and she was like, I never knew this existed, but her neighbor told her. So to see that how much that number has gone up, you know, is just fantastic. It just really means that word is getting out, you know, and that the parents who are able to attend the workshops are sharing that information and spreading the news. So thank you guys for your hard work on that.
Thank you.
You mentioned several councils on school sites. How are parents selected to be on those councils?
So for school site council, since it's a legal requirement, there's actually a process where the parents have to be selected by other parents. And they either, every school does it differently. Sometimes they put names on a ballot. So usually at back to school night, they get names of people that want to participate, and then they send it home, and then parents vote. Sometimes parents volunteer, and then we actually also have a big meeting where we talk about today we're going to have a school site council who's willing to participate, and then at that point parents vote. So they do it in different ways, but for school site council it has to be pretty much voted by the parents, because school site council is a decision making council. Unlike our other councils, most of our councils are advisory, and in terms of our English learner advisory programs and district councils and site councils, they're chosen also by the parents, but it's more advisory and it's not as formal. So it's basically we invite, usually as a principal, you invite all your English learner parents to come to a meeting, and at that point you tell them that you want to, you know, you need to have an English learner council, and you want to make sure that there's participation from everybody. And then the parents actually vote on who's going to, you know, join. And then the next meeting, they do co-chair, chair, secretary. And in terms of our other advisory councils, it's usually a representative from every school. For the GATE advisory, it's more, we invite all parents because we do specific training for GATE's parents and students. So obviously in the morning, we get a lot of people for GATE too. And I think I covered all of them.
Okay, going back to HomeLink, last year during open house, you had people from technology helping families get onto HomeLink during open house. Is that something you're going to be doing again this year?
That school site base, so that was usually principals. That's one of the things that principals do. So that would depending on the school site. But I know that most principals do that in terms of making sure that the parents know how to get on. Because one of the biggest concerns that I always get from parents, especially at the secondary schools, is, oh, I didn't know my child wasn't doing well, or I didn't realize. So with HomeLink, what I suggest to them, if they have a computer, obviously they could do it themselves. If they don't have a computer, they don't have access, they could go and make sure that their child prints out every week how they're doing in their classrooms.
Well, I sat in with a couple of families last year that registered for HomeLink, and there's two barriers. One was that you needed an e email address. They didn't all have an email address. And until you establish an email address, you can't translate into another language.
You can't
so
register.
They couldn't get an email address. So the people from technology helped them get an email address. Once they got into HomeLink, then they could translate into different languages. So it really is beneficial to have somebody there to help them if they don't have an email address at home. They might have a computer, but they might not have an email address.
Yeah. In the past, when we have the trainings, we usually have a lot of people there helping them because we know it's a process in terms of making sure they have their email. And also, one of the things that I've discovered is there needs to be a lot of practice, because then when we have additional training, then they forget how to get on. Some of our parents that are not as computer savvy as others. And we also have that by, we have Chromebook cards in the district that we use with our parents whenever we have training. So one of our goals is to make sure that we do a little bit of kind of a review every time we have a meeting to make sure that they remember how to get on, their password, because even passwords, there's so many passwords, so that's also another.
That was another. The password had to meet certain requirements, and they were thinking of a password, and they would almost all of them would say 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And so information technology staff was very helpful that evening with
great
individuals for basic things that we take for granted. Isn't necessarily something that everybody has or understands.
Yes, and they are very appreciative. The parents are very happy about the work that we've done and that all our staff helps them. Certificated and classified staff, they always tell me how happy they are with help in terms of helping them getting logged on or helping them win tech when they go to the school sites. But I know most of our principals provide that.
So for goal 4, which is fiscal responsibility and facilities, in the report that you received, the extended report, there is a list by site that shows the updated actions from Alex Flores' office that have been done from August until January. Included in that is the infrastructure updates for technology. So Phil George has been working on, they've updated the internet connection to the County Office of Education from 1 gigabyte to 10 gigabytes, which will increase the ability for more access to heavy content. As we add devices in the district, it will make it the information flow a lot faster. They've also added 48 access points, Wi-Fi access points, that will allow faster content to be streamed. And then also in the report, we shared with you that we added around 4,000 devices this year, which brings us up to a total of 8,894 devices total since we started the new rollout with the district standard devices. So that's the number we're at currently. Now, Mari Bordona is going to take us through goal 5.
I think this may be more for Alex, but I noticed that on page 9 that we see that there's still the access points at Northam and Santana are still pending. Do we have an estimated time of when they will be fully operational?
I don't have that with me right now, but I can get that answer for you. I do know in Santana there was an issue with the infrastructure that we're going to spend like $20,000 to $30,000 more to get the connectivity there so we can go ahead and have those installed.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. I'm going to share with you the progress and update on LCAP Goal 5, which is student safety and wellness. And this goal is about supporting student physical and social emotional well-being, removing barriers to academic success, and promoting campus safety and a positive environment for students and staff. To that end, we have provided professional development for staff. We are in our positive behavior intervention and support progress. All schools are now either training or implementing a variety of various tiers of positive behavior interventions and supports. We have also provided training to groups of classified staff and to teachers who are not necessarily connected to the staff every day, our music teachers. We've provided training to our site coaches and to members of our FRC staff in PBIS. All individuals who do discipline on campuses have received updated training in all of the new laws and policies involved in student discipline, suspension, expulsion, and other means of correction, and ensuring that students receive due process. We have a district implementation team for PBIS that meets regularly, weekly, and in a smaller group, and then four times a year in a larger group. And this is to ensure that we're meeting all of our goals for implementation district-wide, and that we're meeting our goals to support the sites in their implementation and also in their use of data to make decisions about improvements and changes in their implementation of PBIS and the tiers of support. Here are some pictures of both training activities and some of the implementation pieces from different school sites for PBIS. You can see here that one of our principals is doing an assembly with students, teaching them about the expectations at her school. Up here, we have a student participating in the reward system at the school. Students, some of the schools are doing things like fill your bucket, others are giving tickets. Sometimes it's whole classes, sometimes it's just individual students, and even campus aides are involved in the process of rewarding students when they see positive behaviors within the spectrum of the school's expectation matrix. And you see, okay, and then in the middle we have some training for PBIS with one of our schools. Okay. Promoting appropriate health services for students. We have the East Valley Clinic at Via Corta expanding over to the Northam site. I can share with you that they're finalizing bids and that all of the cost is being provided by grants from Ralph M. Parsons Foundation and Rose Hills Foundation. And once the renovation begins, they estimate that it will be completed in approximately 3 months. Students will be able to receive dental care and vision care at the Northam site. And then at the East Valley site on Via Corta, they will continue to be able to receive immunizations and other and medical care. So we'll have two places, expanded services. In the area of mental health, we've expanded. We continue to have an elementary counselor. We continue with our EMHI program, which are early mental health assistants at our elementary sites. We have expanded Gear Up. We now have 82 students in Gear Up, and counseling referrals to partner agencies this year so far are 322. Our McKinney-Vento count is approximately 2,500. The FRC continues to support those families in a variety of ways. 984 families in case management and 1,600 case management dates so far this year. Also, we have 81 foster students in our district, so that's up a little bit from previously. The LA Food Bank approved Via Corta as a distribution site. So monthly food distributions will begin in March and take place every second Monday of the month thereafter from noon until 1:30. And, of course, things like the Morning Breakfast Club continues, and the Morning Breakfast Club individuals who implement that were also trained in PBIS. So they have actually developed their own matrix for behavior for students in the Morning Breakfast Club. We also have implemented an alternative to suspension classroom. It is located at the ALP site, and in the extended description that you have, you can see – how the schools have been using it so far. It actually was up and running maybe, I want to say, toward the end of September. We had everything going and running, and schools were all trained and started to use it. It has significantly reduced the number of suspensions at our school sites, particularly at the high school. So, again, the ATS is an alternative means of correction for an education code violation. Okay. I am now introducing Frank Chang.
Any questions from board?
Well, are we still at five?
Yeah. I am.
Is Frank continuing five? Or are going to
yes.
Do we still have more to do on five. Frank's going to share, and then when we conclude five, then we'll do questions. Mm-hmm. There's still more information to come.
Okay.
Frank.
In continuation of goal number five, I want to talk a little bit more about how counselors are also part of not just PBIS, but then all the things that they do day to day, from one-on-one meetings, registrations, course selections, parent info meetings. But what we've been able to do with counselors is that we've been able to bring them together, the secondary counselors, grades 7 through 12, and then focus on three particular goals, and you see them up there before you. And this aligns with what we're trying to do in goal number two as well as in goal number five, and is really to help our students address their academic needs and in preparation for college and career. And specifically, some of the things that arrived through this coordination and collaboration with the counselors are that they get a lot of professional development through local universities. They go to conferences. They work with Mount SAC. They also get trainings with AVID. They also work with the CCGI initiative. And, of course, they go to the conferences that the UCs and the CSUs hold to remain updated in regards to how to help our students meet college requirements and how to get their applications in a tidy way so that they can get into the schools. Also, this year we celebrated our second annual college night. We were able to get 30 universities, some of our very prestigious universities. Some heard about our college night, Stanford University, our Claremont colleges came as well, some of the UCs, the CSUs, and also two of our partnership schools, APU and Laverne, were also there. And we also had a lot of seminars for parents as well as students that spoke specifically to, let's say, FAFSA financial aid application, helping our students understand the challenges of how to get into UC schools, understanding the college application process, things of that nature. We held over at Nogales High School, and I think I saw all of you guys there, and I think it was a fantastic evening for our students. And we are continuing our partnership this year with CCGI. We are completing our activities milestones for college and career. And so students complete these milestones to make sure that they are well aware of the options available to them after they graduate from high school. And as you know, our partnership with APU and Laverne was established this year, and we will continue to build upon that relationship, maybe possibly fostering under the direction of what Dr. Mitchell was asking, is to foster possible summer school opportunities with them and continuously grow that pipeline so our students are well aware of a local private universities that definitely can help them future their continue their goals. Okay.
Any questions? Four? Five.
We are done with goal five, yes.
Donna?
Let's see. I have a note that you said the.
Okay. Mari, when you said that the high school suspensions went down because of the ATS, I wanted to find out how do you know that if that was the reason why, or is it because the principals are not giving more suspensions? How are you basing that on?
Well, the schools can choose to send the students when they have an ed code violation.
Mike? Mari.
think I'm probably louder than a microphone. So when the schools, when the students commit an education code violation, so something in 48900, the schools can elect to offer to the parents the alternative to suspension room where they receive a restorative practices curriculum rather than a home, a suspension home. It still is logged as an education code violation, but we, of course, receive ADA for it, and the students receive replacement behaviors and a reentry plan. So when they use the ATS, it doesn't count as a suspension against our suspension rate, and that's why it brings that down.
I see. And do we have other students that go there more than once? Do we have a limit if we have somebody that attends three times?
I think the schools are trying to give students a couple of shots at it if they need to, but most of the students only go once. The goal is to have them go once and learn some replacement behaviors and then not repeat that behavior.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then I have a question for you, Frank. Goal 5 is for elementary students, for all the students, right? And you mentioned 7 through 12 for the counseling, which is great that we have a lot. What about our elementary students for counseling? What do we have available for them? I know that's not your field because you're secondary, but...
We have one full-time counselor for elementary.
For the whole district?
Yes.
And then I know we were working on interns. Do we have, like, through Family Resource Center?
We have a lot of interns right now. I can't even tell you how many, but they're working. It's tripled in size from last year. And so they are at all of the sites through the Gear Up program, and we also have students through Pacific Clinics.
Thank you.
I'm going to further that answer, too. We also have classified staff that work, and the former position child was ME, early mental health. And they are share. There's one classified employee that works at two different school sites, and so they split their time. And they provide social skills and small group instruction and in terms of addressing behaviors at a young age as well. They work out of the Family Resource Center and report to Laurel and also work with a counselor that is in the Family Resource Center as well. And then we also have counseling services that come out of Scott Jensen's office in terms of working with the BEST team for our elementary students as well.
Thank you.
David?
I thought Mr. Lohman was very eloquent in when he spoke for a few minutes of what it's been like the last couple of weeks. And what I'm concerned about is goal 5 is student and staff safety and wellness. I'm not getting a good feeling as far as safety is concerned. I would hope that this would be a dynamic plan. I realize the plan was written last year before that, and that in the process, things have changed dramatically in the community. And I would hope that we would be able to modify our plan to reflect what's happening in the community. Recently, I noticed a risk manager job duty statement that went out. And when I look at the risk management job duty statement, I see more insurance responsibilities here than risk management. When I go on campus, I know what I'm asked to sign in on a book with handwriting. I mean, anybody can go in there, sign my name, walk in. There's no picture ID or anything. And I really have some concerns about what are we doing for safety. Last time we went, I think about a year ago, we looked at the safety plans. I had concern how they were organized because they were all done differently at each school site. Some had tabs, some didn't have tabs. And if you floated from one school site to the other, you would have no idea how to even use that manual or where it's located. So I would like to hear more on what we're doing as far as school safety is concerned to meet the demands that we're seeing in the news every day.
So if I can address your question, I appreciate the comments and the questions, and it is something that we are talking about at the, you know, the district level and with the sites. And in fact, I'm at our principal's meeting this week. It was totally devoted to that conversation. However, we are talking about the LCAP, and so we are required to use to report about our S&C dollars, our supplemental and concentration dollars, which are very specifically targeted for our English learners, our foster youth, and our socioeconomically disadvantaged students. And very clearly, they have said things like some of the issues that Mr. Lohman brought up are not LCAP appropriate. They should be general funded or district-wide opportunities to support our kids and staff. And so that will, I believe that will be a discussion at some point very soon, but it's not in the LCAP. I cannot buy additional police officers, for example, out of the LCAP dollars, out of the SNC dollars. We do reference some of the safety issues in our LCAP because it did come up as far as like supervision with students. So you see like noon aids and campus aids and some of those references into our LCAP, but those are general funded items. They're not, it's not certainly a comprehensive safety piece for the district. It's very targeted toward those LCAP dollars. And so those extra supports that we provide our most at-risk kids are the things that are addressed in the LCAP. But we are having those conversations about safety in another venue.
And to further expand upon that, Mr. Malkin, is we do have a district safety plan. Excuse me. Each of our schools have a plan. It is a topic that is a priority, has been, and will continue to be. And I agree, Mr. Lohman's words were very poignantly spoken this afternoon. But the purpose, again, as Teresa has said, for this presentation is around the progress of the LCAP dollars. And where there is confusion, and there was some even when we were at the ARE meeting about an LCAP discussion, our district goals, Goal 5, under our general budget is very appropriate, and we do intend to bring that full conversation forward to the board to share the work that we're doing and make sure that the board is aware when they are adopting the district and school site safety plans. So we do have a district goal, which includes the safety in the way that you're thinking in terms of district security and safety. The purpose and the purpose of this presentation is around the progress of how the dollars have been spent and the student growth that we've seen from that plan.
And if I can also add on, at our next board meeting, you will be seeing the updated district safety or school site safety plans that will be on the agenda as well, because that's a yearly update and they are much improved.
Which will then bring the whole conversation, I think, that you're seeking tonight will be on our next board meeting.
Because I'd be more, this is interested in the district-wide safety plan and who's heading that up and how we're going to organize that. So it's a comprehensive plan and not individualized from site to site.
We do have that, David, just so that you're aware. And I'm sorry, Angelina, I think you were getting ready to take it. But recognize that we are required to have site-specific safety plans. And so obviously there are individual needs at each of our school sites, and so there are site-specific plans. However, within those plans, and Mari and her team have worked based on the recommendations that were brought by the board from an organization standpoint, the content was all there, but you had made some requests regarding organization. And then further from that perspective is Mari and her team have worked with our principals so that there is clearly represented what is district response and action and support and what are specific school site needs based on their unique facility and or grade levels. And that is in our school site plans.
Just a simple, quick question. Currently, do we know what the student counselor ratio is at both Roland and Nogales? And if you don't know it today, you can tell me later. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm just curious as to what it is now.
Based on the contractual agreement, it's 420 to 1, and we try to staff it accordingly. Based on the contractual agreement, it's 420 to 1, but I can get you the specifics based on our enrollment, and I can look at the enrollment number and how many counselors, and I can get you the specifics.
Okay, one more quick question. I lied. When we look at our concentration grant money, and I know it has to be used for specific things, specific populations, are we using any of that for additional counselors to work with those populations, or does it just go more into training? Or just curious. I don't know if you know. If you don't, you can answer me later, and that's more than fine.
Okay. So Our counselor ratio was much higher before the LCAP, and so we did put dollars towards staffing. So we did add, I think it's 3 or 3.5 counselors to get to that ratio, so that we use the S&C dollars to lower the ratio. Each of our secondary schools has a significant population of our unduplicated count or unduplicated students that, you know, are represented. And so by lowering that count or that ratio, we do serve, you know, all of the students that way. And then, so there is some training dollars, but most of it goes towards the staff of the three.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions from the board? I have a question for Marie. The, we are expanding the clinic facility to Northam.
Yes.
Yeah, and it happened this year, right?
Yes.
Last year.
This school year.
Yeah. How was the funding and how was the facility house the do you use our buildings or facility to house the facility?
It will be where the former children's clinic was.
Yeah.
It'll be that same building, but they're remodeling it so that it will have a larger capacity.
I see.
And they're remodeling it so they can do things like the vision pieces and the dental.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you. So we'll go number six.
Don't take my notes. I won't know what to say. So goal number six is about leadership. A district functions well when we have strong leadership at all levels, whether it's formal leadership or informal leadership. We are committed to the collaboration and to the growing of our leaders. And this involves staff and students, parents, and our community. And as you see, as we work through this goal, that all of those areas are covered. So if we can, thank you. Our first area about professional development, we do provide leadership development with both classified staff, certificated leadership, and our teachers. We have district leadership team and principal leadership development meetings every month where our leaders have an opportunity to continue their growth. Mostly we have focused on instructional areas, but we also work on other issues such as safety or leadership work. We have provide coaching support for our principals, our administrators, and our teachers, so we can create some teacher leaders as well. But we do support our principals with coaches, and so Miriam and Frank, that's part of their role, and they have the time to do that, to support our principals and work with them and coach them. We have professional learning community training. We have, many of our schools have sent staff to that training, either cohorts of leaders, teams of folks, to work together as PLCs, and then they continue that work back at the sites, and we support that work with our coaching processes. We've had classified training opportunities, such as our winter professional development. It gives an opportunity for our staff to learn within their own area of expertise and work, but also to expand outside of that. So we've heard things that, you know, referenced tonight, like our Google training or Aries training. So people that don't necessarily do that work, I had an opportunity to gain that knowledge and understanding. We also have our EdTech leadership opportunities. We have a community of practice, actually multiple communities of practice that meet together. We have our Q leaders and our Future Ready team that works together on our leadership pieces. We have some trainings with LACO. We work very closely with the county on various issues. Most of these are very specific training, so tied to specific topics where we have we own a small number of friends. So, for example, our TK teachers or Sylvia's, some of our categorical friends, our dual immersion, we have the opportunity to work with LACO on some of those pieces to continue the growth. And then we do send folks to professional conferences to continue their growth. We want to make sure that we hire our highest quality staff and we continue to grow them. And so our personnel department has revamped and has been out recruiting already for anticipated openings to make sure that we get the highest quality staff. We have great partnerships with our local universities, with Cal State Fullerton, Azusa. I think they were out at Laverne as well this last week to recruit some of the highest quality staff that we can have. If we can flip it, thank you. So here's some of our opportunities. Up in the top left, we have some of our collaborative planning together. Teachers have an opportunity each week to meet together in grade level or department time, and they take advantage of that very often and very well. It's funny because you'll go in and see the conversations occurring, and I don't think they know you were there because they're so wrapped up in their conversations. I had the opportunity today to meet with, I was walking a campus, and so one of the grade level, they have common grade level or course alike prep periods, and so had the opportunity to sit in on part of their conversation about working towards common assessments within their units, and just the power of that conversation of creating that time for the teachers to do the work and then giving them the tools to have the conversation. And that's very powerful work with our kids. In our top right, you see some of our classified professional development day work. And then down below on the bottom left, you see some of our Science Center work in our professional development where we're creating teacher leaders as well. We can flip it. The other thing that Goal 6 is about is creating leadership, but also creating the expectation for great work. And you do that by recognizing what is great. And so we've had opportunity to do a lot of celebrating in many different ways at the board recognitions. As I make you guys come down and take pictures at every board meeting, I think we've done a really great job expanding that over the past year or two. We have a lot of school-based recognition. Part of their PBIS program is school recognition, but they do additional awards for academic achievement and community service and all sorts of things. I don't know about you, but my mailbox is full with invitations to all of those, and I'm quite sure yours is as well. The RUSD Showcase was a chance for us to really share and promote what we are doing as schools. They all have their little niche of what they're doing. That's their thing that they do very well, and they had the opportunity to share about that and to show the world what they do. I think it was as interesting to other staffs to see what the other schools were doing, as well as our potential parents and community members to see that. Our school spotlights at the board meetings, I think, have been valuable in sharing information that we don't often get to hear about our schools in one concise place. And our culture of appreciation, we have opportunities to thank friends and thank people for doing and going above and beyond. We have opportunities with that, with notes and just, you know, Twitter feeds and all those opportunities to share what we're doing and create that culture that's positive and shares what we are doing for success. And if we can flip. So at the top left, you see when Roland Elementary School was here, and they were sharing about their PBIS and their Rascal Pride at our school spotlight for our board meeting. Down in the bottom left, we have our Oswalt math team that they were awarded from our board recognition. Up in the top right, I can't really see my school. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the special projects and our dual immersion program represented at our showcase, and they had lots of interest and lots of conversations with parents and could share the good work they are doing in those programs at our schools. And then down at the bottom, we had an opportunity to have many of our students perform at the showcase. I think that's the Nogales dance team. It might be the Roland dance team that is performing at that showcase. It's hard to tell when they wear black shirts. I just never know which school it is. And then we have an opportunity for collaboration between our district and the community stakeholders. So we have many opportunities to go out in our community and share the good work. I think with what's in the news a lot, we tend to hear about the not great things that happen at schools very frequently. And so we have created opportunities and taken advantage of opportunities to share the work that we are doing. So our state of the schools, Dr. Mitchell has done a great job sharing the big overview of our district, but also the great work that is happening and the new work that's happening. Our work with our employee unions with interest-based bargaining and that conversation about making it a much more positive experience about negotiating and working through problems, but it's also very informative to our associations. Increased presence and participation at our community meetings. I know as board members you're going out to various things such as city council meetings and coordinating councils and park meetings and those kinds of things, but all of our staff is also out doing that as well out at different community events and opportunities to share. And then our LCAP community meetings and our student focus groups, we ask them very much about our LCAP. Sometimes we hear about more than the LCAP, and that's okay. We hear about good things. We hear a lot of brags. When we have our LCAP meetings, we take copious notes. And so most of it is about the good things we are doing and the fact that they've noticed that we are doing them. And as Ms. Pride had shared about, you know, a friend telling a friend sort of thing, we hear a lot of those kinds of stories where that, you know, another student has had an opportunity and then their student has had the opportunity to take advantage of it by word of mouth. So the opportunity to hear from that, our students are appreciative of the work that we're doing. They share a lot about what they feel that they're when they're getting a good education and how they're going to be prepared to be out in the world. Whether they're third graders or 12th graders, they're sharing that. So that is it for Goal 6. Are there any questions about that one? And then we can talk about the process a little bit.
Donna?
Just a comment. Frank and I were at Giano today, and as we were walking classes, there were two teams working together. What I really like is they include the SDC teacher or the RSP teacher. Very good planning. And he shared with us that they're required to meet at least once a week, if not more, which a lot of them do. And then I was thinking about elementary when I left, and so I think it's terrific that we have them. We have PE and music for our elementary school teachers so that they have an opportunity to have the same kind of meeting. And they talked about the backwards lesson planning. Yeah. And so they were working hard and explaining a little bit to us and just very good. So we know that a lot of that is going on because you wonder during the prep time, what are they doing? And we know that they're working really hard. That's all. Just a comment about
that. And if I can just add to that, that they're expected during their music time to collaborate at the elementary schools, and like at our secondaries, they're asking, you know, for once a week or some version of that. And oftentimes you'll see them together at PE times, you'll see them together at lunch times working together. They're utilizing the coaches to support that as well. And then even, you know, the grade level or common planning time during the day, you'll see them multiple days planning down to the lesson.
And what's nice is when you visit the classrooms and you're going to the same grade level, you see the same lesson taught differently, but the same thing, so you know they've been collaborating. It's really nice.
Yes. Thank you.
When I look at social media, I notice a lot of innovative teaching skill classes that are, you know, being given both on, you know, their own time and on our time. What I'm wondering is for areas where we're not meeting our targets and we need additional help to move ahead, how does that get into the learning program that we have classes to teach teachers how to, you know, achieve a higher outcome when we're not achieving the outcome that we want? How does that get filtered in?
So I'm going to preview you to our next presentation in Goals 1 and 2, and that's where we do address those very particularly with our special ed opportunity as well as some of our other groups that aren't performing to where we'd like to be. We will address that during Goal 1 and 2 very specifically. Thank you for the question.
Lynn?
Ms. Healy, when you talk about parents praising what's good, comments about what they would like to see better at this, even though it's in the middle of the year?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're very free to tell us how they feel on both directions. It's interesting. When we first met, they wanted a lot of things. We want more of this. We want more of that. We want this other thing that somebody else does. Now it's really the groups. I think the parents are better informed. And it's not like, oh, yeah, our DLAC has been together for 3 years, and so now they're informed. The parents on the committees will change out. But I think as a whole, our parents are better informed. And so they're really saying, we like this. We want more of it. Or we want this, but now the next step for us is that. I mean, they're very clear about what it is they want. They'll also ask questions about when they think something isn't going to the level they want or give us that feedback of that and offer alternatives to it. It's not just fix it. It's can you fix it this way? And they're very clear about it. And, you know, we've talked about the students a lot about being very candid. The parents are very candid as well in our discussions.
That's very important, I think. Mm-hmm. My other is a general question. I saw this piece online, but I didn't see this piece online. Were they both mm-hmm. there?
No.
Okay. And so this is an explanation of...
Yeah, it's a deeper dive into what's in the PowerPoint so that you have more of the background data that goes with it.
All right.
Any more questions? I have one comment. The item provide the opportunity for the collaboration between the district and community stakeholders, and your list of four. And I think there's another one is the school tour. That was pretty good too.
Oh yes, thank you.
Yeah, sorry you missed that one.
I'll
that
one's
yeah. The parents had learned so much about that tour at the time.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if we can.
Okay.
Can we go forward?
Yeah.
So then as we go through our process of revision, I just want to remind you that we are in the process of gathering input from our stakeholders. We've had the opportunity to meet with our Superintendent's Parent Council, which represents our SED parents. We've had the opportunity to meet with our DLAC for our English learner parents. We have also had the opportunity to meet with our ARE representatives and our ARA representatives as a group to get feedback from them. We are ready to go on having some pizza. We start next week with our student lunches and snacks, and we will meet with the community as well in about 2 weeks. So we're reviewing the goals and outcomes at our boarding meeting. I'm sorry, is that – can you go back one? Sorry, Brian. So an opportunity. So I just wanted to point out that we have a picture of Dr. Mitchell talking to students without pizza. So I think that was a very important point that I would like to make. But I also want to acknowledge that it's not – people assume that it's just, you know, like the district administrators who go out and talk to folks. And so in the top right, we do have Sylvia Rivas talking to students. And, in fact, I believe that was a group that she was speaking to in Spanish because the students felt more comfortable talking in their native language so that they could share about their EL experience. But I will also share that down in our bottom left corner, we have Sharon and Belinda, two of our CSEA friends, as well as Shay has participated quite often in our groups. We've had many of our LCAP council folks, so that includes some of our principals, but also some of our teachers and actually a few parents that have been part of that to listen to our students and share, or our community members to share what they're thinking. So I think it's been valuable for us to have those conversations and to have them with many people and many people listening as well. So here's our process. We're calling our new LCAP year two because we actually, I feel so accomplished that I get to roll from year one to year two for the first time ever. You know, that's quite a little kudo because I keep feeling like, you know, I'm being retained in year one. So review of our goals and outcomes at our board meeting. We have shared that at our last meeting, and we will continue to do this work as we go through our process next time for our goals one and two. Our LCAP council is set to meet very shortly, and they will go through the process of the feedback and then also give us some insights into some direction that they'd like based on some of that feedback. Our Community Parent Student Employee Association input, we're in the middle of doing that as well. Our community survey, we're getting that ready to launch. We are using the new Qualtrics system, and so that will give the data feedback that we get will be much more user-friendly for us to process and use. And we were working on getting ready for our annual report. We're starting to draft some of those pieces that we have for our actions, because as you know, we have to identify each of the actions and what we have done with them, not just kind of an overall, like I'm giving you at the board meeting, but each and every action needs to be accounted for. So we're starting the work on that. And then also starting to work towards any revisions that we need in our year two of our current LCAP. So we are beginning that work based on some feedback and some work that we know, and based on the dashboard work, as was mentioned about you know, our achievements and where we need to go with that. We're working with the county on some of those pieces. So, Dave.
On the community survey, would we have opportunities to review that before it goes out?
Yes, it will be very similar to last year's because the questions worked out quite well for us to get some good data from our community. But there will be some slight revisions, and we will share those as we get them up.
Okay. No more questions on the board? Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to present, and thank you to my team for all their hard work on this. So.
Thank you, team. Thank you.
Any additional questions, Cindy?
Nope. Then? Apparently, the one I was questioning was sent out on an email prior to today.
Not on the board agenda. That's a board report.
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was part of this. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad I didn't miss something for today.
No, you have it all.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No more questions? All right. Okay. There's no closed session tonight. So let's move to adjourn meeting. So yes. I need a move for adjourn meeting.
I'll move.
Donna moves.
Second.
AJ second.
To close session.
There is no closed session.
No
topics close to session. Discuss in closed.
So we're no closed session. If we say aye.
Aye.
Motion carry. Adjourned. 5:51. Thank you. No more comments.
No, not in the study session.
Not session.
Yeah, okay. Not in the study session.
Right.
Okay. So no closed session. I thought I read we have a closed session.
Yeah, he says that, but it was when we made it, said in case we have something to discuss.
In case, but we
yeah, in case we have that. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, thank you. The presentation. Yeah. You too. Okay.
Now I know
thank you, Sylvia. Sylvia, work hard.
I'm ready.
Thank you. Yeah.